Daphne.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one can change my mind but Mama tried.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Good Thursday morning to you. Thank you for being with us. We do appreciate it. Text line, if you want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That's all you got to do. You hit us up on that text line, and we will respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still to come on the program here in about an hour, my colleague at 1819 News, 1819news.com, April Marie Fogle. Also, in the 11 o'clock hour, the official Democrat response to the Jeff Porch Show, Parker Griffith will make time for us. So please stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, she's a candidate, House District 96, over here on the Eastern Shore. You folks at Daphne Spanish Fort, we'll have a couple of choices. As of right now, on the Republican primary, the seat currently held by Matt Simpson, but Danielle Duggar joins us on the line. Danielle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for coming on this morning. We do appreciate it. So you ran 3 years ago for this seat. You're going to give it another shot. Talk to us a little bit about your decision to run.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, originally my decision to run was prompted a lot by COVID. You know, I realized at that moment that a lot of what we needed to be done in the state and what the people were practically begging our lawmakers to do in the state was not being responded to. So that opened my eyes to the need for individuals to get into the state house that are going to be responsive, are going to listen to, you know, the cry of the people.
And this time around, you know, has anything changed? Maybe it's not COVID anymore. What are you looking at here as sort of what inspired you to do this?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a lot of, like you said, it's not COVID anymore, but we have a lot of the same issues. So we don't, you know, we don't have true conservative issues getting passed through the House easily. You know, I work as a legislative analyst for a national nonprofit, and I review legislation across all 50 states. And in a lot of states, you know, we've got parental rights bills and informed consent bills and conservative issues going through. And a lot of the time in, you know, more liberal states, the pushback is coming from Democrats. But here in Alabama, uniquely, the pushback isn't necessarily from the left. A lot of the time it's from people in our own party. Not to say we don't have good conservative folks in the state house, we do, but sometimes simple things like, you know, parental rights bills, or we get a lot of pushback on that, or gun restrictions just fly through, gambling, practically passed the past two sessions. I mean, these are issues that you don't expect from a supermajority, you know, Republican leadership in the state. And it's surprising. So we've still got some issues. We've got some work to do. We need to work on keeping taxes low, reducing taxes, protecting children from woke ideologies. We see a lot of that, especially in our local, you know, schools, libraries, things like that. It's there, even though I talk to a lot of people coming from other states and they say they came to Alabama because they thought it was a refuge for conservatism. And they were shocked to find that there was so much resistance to it.
Well, and maybe it's a culture thing in the state house, but, you know, one of 105 members, and how do you start moving the ball there? I mean, this is a gripe of mine on a regular basis. We have a Republican supermajority, and it still feels like it's almost a 51-49 split at times, especially upstairs in the Senate, but downstairs in the House sometimes as well. Maybe not as much as it had in the past, but how do you, you know, how do you start to get these conservative priorities moving through as just one member?
We just have to, you know, just one member, just one vote, but we have to get those votes in there. We have to get those members in there who care about, you know, family values, who aren't, you know, up there to play political games, who are going to be that no vote that could be the deciding factor, you know, and you've got to be able to champion these causes and, you know, discuss things with your colleagues and maybe even win a few more votes over and support those who are doing the right thing, rally behind them, and just add to the conservative numbers, because eventually I know that, you know, right, it will win out, that eventually a truth will come to light, and that we will, you know, we will get through this. We will keep our Republican Party conservative. We've been diluted for a while, but I think the younger generation coming up is, you know, we've got a lot of influence from Trump, a lot of, you know, Trump's whole thing was anti-establishment, drain the swamp. Well, a lot of college students I talk to, they are 100% on board with that. And they're starting to recognize things in the party that they don't see as true conservative. So I think we've got momentum for a push toward, you know, constitutional conservatism, and every vote helps. You know, we've got to just push it past that line.
Danielle, something last time you were on, and it kind of stuck with me, and I think this is one thing we should talk about. It was the, you know, I know the fights over Common Core, kind of, that's old hat, but explain it the way you did, sort of when you're at a young age, why, and I understand the idea behind some of the Common Core curriculum, and especially when you think about math, but as you said, at an early age, like repetition and kind of learning like a pattern is a good way.
Then you could
go and talk about sort of the, I guess, the theory behind it and the understanding, but it's like nursery rhymes and things like that. That is the way I was taught, and it served me, you know, well until I kind of got a little older and kind of figured out some other things about it. But when we use these, teaching tactics in the curriculum, walk us through a little bit of that.
Sure. Yeah. So I did a little bit of early childhood education in my undergraduate before I switched majors. And, you know, some of the courses that I sat through, we learn a lot about like how children learn and optimize learning. And, you know, there's a reason why for centuries we've taught children through nursery rhymes and repetition and memorization, memorizing times tables. There are reasons for that. And that's because that's how children's brains are able to retain information. So at my children's school, they attend a classical Christian school in Baldwin County, and they do a lot of memorization. My daughter in second grade could recite the entire preamble to the Constitution. They memorize entire chapters of the Bible. They are learning Latin. You know, there's a lot of scientific evidence that says if you learn these things early, you know, before your brain develops through puberty and, you know, early adolescence, that it sticks. So the push for Common Core really undermined that entire thinking about the child's brain development, because they were attempting to teach children, instead of memorizing, you know, math facts, they were attempting to teach them the concepts behind these math facts. And these are difficult to understand concepts. I mean, one of the college courses was basic concepts of elementary math. And you would think that would be a really easy course, but it's not. It's very challenging to grasp the concept behind why 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, it involves base value understanding and different numerical base values and, you know, why you know, what we use, one equals one. So it's not, it doesn't align with what we know about how children learn. So Common Core, you know, even though Alabama says that we don't use it, it was codified into our Alabama College and Career Ready standards. And that's something that still, all these years later, needs to be addressed. You know, we threw some money at it with the Numeracy Act, and there's been some reports showing that our scores have risen in math nationally, which, if it's true, that would be wonderful. But at the State Board of Education meeting in July, I believe, as Dr. Mackey said, that those tests have changed so many times that you can't really compare the 2023 test to the 2024 test. So we're not sure if it is actually working. And I've heard from so many teachers, they want to go back to memorization, back to memorizing the times tables. It's effective.
Yeah.
Tried and true.
Well, that's how I learned. And you have it memorized. And then, like you said, like later on, you have time to kind of learn why 3 times 2 equals 6 and understanding
right.
it. But at that early that age, you just, it's like learning your ABCs. You don't need to understand the phonics and or whatever, but it's just, you know it and you can recall it. It's like a place in your brain. I guess the question I would have, and maybe you can help this, and I mean, like, me understand this, is it this, the reason it seems like the state's trying to find a good balance here. Like, they want to have some of these concepts that are Common Core-ish in the curriculum, but they don't want to call it Common Core. And they want to appease the people who say this is just this kind of curriculum is bad. It's not, it doesn't belong here. This is not how, you know, you need to do math. But like the push to kind of keep it in the mix, is it just like it seems like a Chamber of Commerce thing that we got to get in line with like other states and, you know, that when you do that, it makes our rankings go up. It makes Alabama in the eyes of, I don't know who compiles this data about education and raises our rankings or whatever. That there's some of that, that it's sort of a more of a branding thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's weird that Alabama hasn't abandoned it. It's known nationally for being a complete failure. You know, I don't think the children will benefit from the state appeasing anyone when it comes to this. You know, we need to get in line with what other states are doing by abandoning Common Core standards, especially in math, and just, you know, get with the program and stop trying to save the sinking ship, and let's just fix it. Let's fix the issue, get rid of the issue, instead of dropping more money into helping teachers teach this type of math.
What is the, with education in Alabama, and we have is it really just kind of a teacher-centric system, you know, the teachers' union, that's more not even just the teachers union, but also the superintendents and, you know, that it's school boards, and it's bureaucracy, pro education bureaucrat. Is that really what's holding us back? Cause I'm not familiar with other states enough to really speak on this, but you hear this a lot.
Sure. So, I mean, we know that our GOP leadership has asked our representatives and senators to not take AEA money. We know that they've been an issue in the past. I'm not really sure what the holdup is. I didn't teach in the public schools. I taught ACT prep, and you know, my focus has been legislation for quite some time. But you know, there's surely room to improve.
Yeah, well, and they brought in, what's kind of interesting is they brought in coaches with the Numeracy Act and the Literacy Act. And, I mean, I look at it, is this just a way around to, like, you have these teachers and maybe they're just not, they're not living up to the standard here. They're not really getting the job done. And whereas now this is just a way around that. Well, we're not going to beat these guys. we're not going to get any wholesale changes. This is the way to do it. We'll just kind of supplement them, and then maybe that is the antidote.
No, I think we have great teachers, honestly. All the teachers I've talked to, they work so hard. They truly try their best. As a mom, I mean, I've been through the gamut of, you know, public school, homeschool, private school, and truly one universal thread is that the educators that I've dealt with truly care. I mean, they work hard. I hear complaints about administration from time to time. I hear complaints about, you know, the material that they're given to work with. I did as a review with a group from Baldwin County. We did a review of our social studies curriculum that's used in K-6 in Alabama called Studies Weekly. And, you know, the material, Jeff, you would be shocked. We did, we sent our report or final analysis of the curriculum to the State Board of Education and to other elected officials. And it was truly shocking what we found. Historical inaccuracies, DEI, we found praising of communist leaders as great leaders of the world, like Mao and Hitler and Stalin. There was Florida history built into the Alabama history page. Just so much bias and editorializing. It was obviously written by a very leftist organization. And the true issue here is that the Alabama State Board of Education approved this curriculum, and then since its approval, it had been updated that we know of at least twice. It's an online material coupled with a weekly printout for students and teachers to read through and take home. And the online sources had been revised twice just during our review period, which lasted over a year. We went line by line through every bit of material in there. So, you know, there were some issues there. They were not addressed initially. They kind of gave us a let's kick the can down the road answer, which was we're going to re-review these standards in 2025. And then I believe it was 2026, they would start reviewing new curriculum for the state. But if we don't give our teachers good quality material, we're going to have these issues. And dumping more money into efforts to save education when we're not using the best material might not be a wise use of taxpayer dollars.
Danielle, we got to leave it there. Thanks for being flexible. I'm sorry I got the time mixed up, but we appreciate it. And best of luck in the campaign, and we'll get you on again later on down the road.
Thanks so much. If people want to learn more about my campaign, they can go to danielleduggar.com. And my contact information is on there, or find me on Facebook, Danielle Duggar for Alabama House District 96. Thanks, Jeff.
Danielle Duggar, ladies and gentlemen. Invitation to Matt Simpson is extended. We'll have him on again, I'm sure, soon. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.